entity, a clique, an elite, you know, predator. That's not the problem with them. The problem is that the Fed is being irresponsible and not allowing the depression to proceed as it should.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I just want to point that out. And if we get too much into that, you know, because you get pieces of understanding of the financial system from different points of view. And it seems like it's almost an issue that no political ideology actually is honest about. So you kind of have to get little bits and pieces from all around. So anyway, over.
Thank you.
Joe Stack.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I just wanted to add this little bit to it because the conservatives and the libertarians would say that the Fed is faulty because it fails to allow, let's say, capitalism to fail, okay? It's true, in my opinion, and in fact, it's something that we still have to deal with, which would be the fallout from the last crash, okay? We've been going along on kind of emergency room types of treatments. But the libertarians don't care if in bringing about a proper market-based financial system, nobody in the country can eat. They don't care about that. You see, and that would be the outcome. That would be the outcome, because if you're going to take away from the financial institutions right now trillions of dollars of their assets, which you would, because they're not worth anything. Okay, they're just beyond their books. And we squared their books with the values of the markets that they're involved in. Let's say the stock market. Know what anybody thinks the stock market should be at, but my opinion, given average price earnings ratios for the types of corporations that are involved in the Dow, would be about 14,000, somewhere between 12,000 and 14,000, and at that level, in terms of the profits that they're putting. That's the profits that they're putting down as opposed to the value of their stock going up. But in terms of their return on their investment, should be worth about 14,000 in the stock in the stock market. So in order to get down there, there would have to be a tremendous loss of value to the holders of the stock of those corporations, which none of us would care about if it didn't paralyze the entire economy to do that. But it will paralyze the economy to do that. And I do care about sort of support the Fed's action in trying to ease us down. But I don't think that you should do it with your eye closed and not have a plan to affect that, what I call the Great Settlement, the Grand Settlement, from that one. And we're just going to build up a much more huge, bigger Grand Settlement if we proceed the way we are. And put these trillions of dollars of so-called liquidity into the financial system. Over.
Okay. Anyone want to comment on that? Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Well, the next thing on this little piece of paper says, the song. Has everyone heard the recording on their own?
Eugene Stack.
Or would we like to listen to the recording? Go ahead, Eugene.
I would like to listen to it because I could not open it. And it seemed to need an app to open it. I would see, all I had to do, it would pop up. All I would have to do is press on it and hear the song, and then a symbol would arise, which was possibly an app symbol that I didn't know what app to download, but it would stop me from watching it. Over.
Any meat player that would play an MP3 would play it.
Okay, an MP3. Okay, thank you. But I would like to hear it tonight.
It can't hurt us to hear it tonight.
I think if you
play it. I'm not sure we can hear it with using Zoom.
I think I figured, Kate figured out how to share sound. Let me look at this and see if I can do that. Kate?
Yeah?
You remember how to share sound on?
When you hit the share button.
Yeah.
Then at the very bottom, where you use the screen.
Ah, there it is, share sound, okay. All right, here we go.
The world is in trouble now, everyone can see. Will human life continue? There's no guarantee. Understand the problem affecting me and you. We all need to focus now on what we need to do. Bankers create credit, all our money as debt. That is what is causing all the inequity we get. Concentrating all the wealth and power to a few. Don't you think it's high time tried something new? So let's change the money. No better way to turn the world around. Change the money. What's gone up now must come down. Change the money. Gonna make our future bright. It's all about the money now. Time to do it right. Bursting bubbles, no bailing out the banks. Money for production, tell speculators no thanks. We could lower taxes, put money in everyone's pocket. That would make our economy take off like a rocket. And let's change the money. No better way to turn the world around. Change the money. What's gone up now must come down. So change the money. Gonna make our future bright. It's all about the money now. Time to do it right. Our economy will be in a steady state. More worries over the unemployment rate. No more private money choosing who we can elect. And no more corporate lobbies with the Congress we respect. When we change the money, no better way to turn the world around. Change the money. What's gone up now must come down. So change the money. We're gonna make our future bright.
It's all about
that money now.
Now it's time to do it right.
Anyway, I didn't want to play the whole thing if that's okay. I want to redo the voice pack, and I might, you know, even get the music tightened up more.
I wonder if you could.
Anyway,
I wonder if you get ZZ Top to play that.
Uh huh.
Did you hear? Did you hear him?
Yeah, ZZ Top. Yeah, something like that. Need you revved up a bit more, I think.
Eugene Stack.
You know, that was my first take, so I need to, you know, get more passion going.
I thought it was very
good. Go ahead,
you. I did too. Think it was good.
Yeah. I thought it was very good. I liked the fact that you could hear every word. You know, I mean, there's no slurring or confusion as to what was being said. I like it so much, but I one reservation. It doesn't explain what this new money is and how it differs from the existing money. And I know that might be difficult, but I was recently watching the Dixie Chicks on a video, and it's called Better Way. And they do it very, this is 2016, and they do it in a very up-tempo form. But what they had in the screen behind them, and it's on YouTube, you can see it, is the words are, you know, put on the big screen. And, you know, Better Way is just a theme that's repeated over and over, very similar to what you're doing. But if you get in a situation where it gets complicated to explain, you might also throw the lyrics on the screen to emphasize what you're talking about over. But it's a great job, and I look forward to as you, you know, tweak it over.
Just that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with what Gene said about everything. My ask in terms of coming back to revisit it is the words public money, you know, get in there somehow, somewhere, as this kind of what the name of this vehicle is that we're trying to advance. Over.
So like on the last chorus, instead of saying money, just say public money.
Public money, somehow, yeah, somehow, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think first that would also explain.
Say what, Howard? Howard?
I think we need a verse that explains it better.
Okay.
A verse that explains it better. Definitely. Can you hear me okay?
Now I heard
you. Yes.
Alrighty. Anything more about the song? Or are we moving on to, are we going to do first webinar or newsletter? We thought that newsletter would be 10 minutes and webinar would be 20, and it is 9:20. Which one are we going to do first?
Eugene Stack.
Go ahead.
I would just like to end the previous subject with, we are branching out into other creative means of getting our ideas out. I mean, I'm thinking of short stories. I mean, obviously there's poetry. You know, we just did a video, you know, that's going to the annual meeting. This is creative, and this is absolutely necessary, because we have to get all these prongs out into the public and look to see what catches people and reels them in to the idea, to challenge us, to debate with us, whatever. But I love this creativity of a newsletter, of music, of all ways in which we can move this forward. Over. Thank you.
I love your enthusiasm. Yeah.
Noticed.
So, webinar first or newsletter first, my friends?
Oh, the webinar. Webinar is more important.
All right. I guess we should start with a quick survey of people who saw it, want to make a comment about it, especially, I mean, kind words are always appreciated, but especially comments that would be helpful for another rendition of it, you know, something that should be changed or could be helpful. And then we want to go to more specifically talk about some of the questions that came up after it, which were very fascinating. How many people on this call did get to hear or see the webinar?
I did.
Joe, Eugene.
Joe,
Eugene, Mary, Howard. Sue recorded it. I don't know if she ever got to listen. Okay, all right. Who would like to comment? Anyone about it in general first?
I will.
Go ahead.
You know, I had just like that, you might lose my video soon because I keep getting this flashes about about my unstable connection. But that night, I sort of got on for a second and then lost it, and decided that, well, I really needed to hear it, so I just phoned in and just listened to the entire thing through. And I want to congratulate, you know, I want to congratulate Howard especially, but I want to congratulate the whole group about how the narrative went down. It was to me, you know, both entertaining and informative and, you know, important to what was people should have been thinking about that day, quite frankly. So I really thought that it had a lot of, you know, excellent qualities about it that that reflected onto it. Now I have to admit that when I got late in the call, that is to say late in the presentation, I think that they were talking about questions, but I didn't actually get to hear any of the questions. I think my phone battery died. Then I thought, well, I'll just leave it at that because I didn't have another phone handy. But so that's my take on it. But as far as the questions go, I have to go back and listen to it more. Hear you guys talk about what the questions were. Over.
Thank you. Any other, Jen? Did you have any reflections afterward, or how do you want to say to this group? Or.
It seemed like there were several things that were brought up that I thought might be good to include in the presentation. And then I thought that on the front end, I needed to address the idea that money's not taught. You know, you haven't been taught about money, and yet you think you know about money. We think we know about money, but we've never been taught. Our parents, we learned it from our parents or from our friends or from, you know, but there was never any program or school program that ever taught any of us about it. And here it is, one of the most important things in our economy. We depend on it every day. And so, you know, kind of on the front end, opening their minds up to, yeah, right, what is that about the money, you know, rather to kind of dislodge that I know all about it on the front end.
How to crack people's minds open a little bit. Go ahead, Eugene.
I kind of overcome that public.
I think that would be helpful, Howard. I think you pointed that out, because people were bringing up the issue. The answer was given, but then it would bring it up again in a different kind of way or a very similar way, and they weren't getting it. But that to me is not a disaster, because anyone, including myself, would first hear this argument. It's complicated, and you've got to hear it several times. You've got to hear it from different angles. I mean, in addition to what Howard said, it's possible to have a series of quotes, you know, and I think you had one or two of them, but you might put in more, in which, you know, what Aristotle said, et cetera, and, you know, from the lost science of money and so forth. I mean, those quotes that great thinkers have stated how complicated this is, including bankers themselves, that when their minds get opened up, you know, they try to tell the truth. Over.
Thank you.
One of the things I learned was to not tell people that it was simple.
Right.
As it makes them feel like they're dumb if they don't get it.
Yes. Good point.
It is not simple.
Right.
Kevin Stack.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I have been working on a little brief essay. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago about, you know, three basic points, creation, issuance, and circulation or control of money. So I've been working on an essay along those lines. trying to be very succinct, but I'm not sure that I'll. I'm not sure when I'll get it to the point where I want to release a draft, but I am working on it. Over.
Aren't you going to write a song, Kevin, or don't you want to be on the video?
I don't have an electric guitar. I have a classical guitar, but I don't know that would work for this. I can't even do Willie Nelson stuff. So.
Think about a radio discussion with another person when you get your ideas in order enough to have some kind of a dialogue.
Right. Well, that was the idea, kind of, with that, you know, you can make two or three videos talking about this. But anyway, we'll see. When I get the article together, we'll see how it goes over like a lead balloon, possibly. But maybe people will like it. Anyway.
Okay.
It's going to be something for the
Something for the what?
For the newsletter.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now we did want to consider some of the questions that came up. A couple that I remember the most were, are these the same ones that caught people's attention? One that John Howard went to the trouble, Howell, of writing the following day a piece about, does really money disappear? And yes, it does, and he explained it. And then Howard sent the Richard Werner piece about that, too. That was one question that seems to have caught people's attention. And another one was that same woman who asked...
The balance sheet argument.
Yeah, the balance. Is that the same thing I'm talking about?
He wanted us to take him through the steps, you know.
Bad form for taking time. You don't do that in 3 minutes or less.
Joe Stack.
But then there was the question about isn't there some way to do it incremental? People don't want something so big all at once. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was just going to suggest that we pull Jamie Walton's one of his discussions about the balance sheet, how the balance sheets work with 20, because Jamie Walton covers both the existing system in terms of how it works, and then how it would work under a public money system, under a real money system, and it is too much to explain to somebody to try to answer a question, but if you could post, right up there on the screen the web address, if you will, for Jamie's presentation at the AMI conference, especially the ones for the last couple of years, I think that would be really good because people could see that, what the difference was. Over.
Well, you're talking about videos from the AMI conferences.
Yes. Yes.
Howard, could you possibly access one that talks about both systems, like you say, and send me the link to it, because I remember who asked that question, and I would like to forward it to him. He was one of the organizers, a green guy from Milwaukee.
Great. Howard, you got that? Because I'll get it if you don't.
Yeah, I'll look for it. I think we have it here somewhere, but I have to look for it.
If you found it, Howard, you could send it to me or directly to Tom Rodman. He is the one who asked that. Yeah.
Could you send it to the listserv, please?
To the listserv.
All right.
And how would you entitle that, what Jamie was talking about? Just for my future reference.
Money creation under bank money versus public money.
Thank you.
The balance sheet approach.
Thank you.
What other question was it that people wanted to discuss from after the webinar? Eugene, what are you thinking about with your program to win, support, and mobilize?
Well, it's the incremental steps. You know, it's a transitional program. Howard, you know, that one woman in particular, I mean, it's too big a nut to crack. And you got to show me steps. And I think, you know, for us to try to develop steps is to simplify our ideas and look, I mean, I just call it a transitional program. I mean, that, you know, what are the key steps that we're going to be doing? I mean, is a monetary commission, you know, is that one of the first things we got to talk about? Or are we talking about petitioning for one aspect of it? Or are we petitioning for finding a congressperson that's going to reintroduce the 2011 bill, the NEED Act, into Congress? You know, I mean, developing a plan for going out and tapping individual Congress people and trying to develop with their legislative rep or something. You know, I mean, it might be in our district, and I'm looking like Representative Omar in Milwaukee, or Tlaib in Detroit. I mean, these people, a couple of people, and I don't see AOC doing it because I think she's connected to MMT, but there may be some. Pocan in Wisconsin? I don't know. There may be people that we could reach, and I'm not just talking about representatives. I'm also talking about different kinds of people. I mean, Representative Green in Houston that wanted to impeach Trump. You know, this is way, way back. Kucinich, contacting Kucinich and begin a dialogue with him on this, you know, because he may have suggestions. There's Zuckerman and Sias at Berkeley. This guy, Adam Tooze, who wrote the book Crash. There's Zeese and Flowers, you know, within the Green Party. There's Richard Wolff. I don't think he's going to buy it, but I think somebody has to reach out to him. There's people we ought to make a list with and then assign this to individuals that would pursue it. And what, if it doesn't pan out, then we know that and we don't go further. But I think we have to try to propagandize to get the NEED Act brought back into Congress. Over.
Thank you.
Howard.
Sue Stack.
Oh. Howard, then Sue.
I was just wanting to say, back at the beginning of what Eugene was talking about, was that yes, we need a call to action, and we need to articulate that call to action. What is it that people can do now to move to advance this issue? That's
so
all.
For the ending of a presentation, you're suggesting there should be concrete things
call
we need to do?
Right.
Gotcha. Sue?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to what we could offer people that would be simplified about how the system would be put into place. I think that was what someone was talking about. And you know, we have our website, Greens for Monetary Reform, and on that website is a tab transition, and it's a word description that some people might like, but at the bottom of it are some PowerPoints that are like cartoons that can help people understand how this could happen, you know, this transition could take place. Sort of very kind of fun, kind of simplify cartoons.
Thank you.
I'll comment on the idea of starting dialogues with a lot of important people who are potential allies, let's say. I will take it under consideration to start a conversation with Mark Pocan, but it's not a one-shot deal if you really want to get results. It's it's a commitment. And I have to say that in my own reading and circles, I can probably think of a list of about 50 people who are potential allies, and I'm really quite confused about where to start. Who am I going to make that commitment to follow through with and continue the communication with? I'm thinking Russell Brand. You know, there's just this long, Meryl Streep.
Lee Camp.
Laundromat is not the first movie she's made about money, Meryl Streep. But, you know, I can't pick. I'm having trouble picking where to start. Joe, what were you going to say?
Lee Camp.
There you go.
I mean, I'm just saying that when I listen to people, and I know the ones that the MMTs are already got cornered, you know, because of their, I'm going to say their associations and their groupings and their camaraderie. But Lee Camp just to me seems like a really independent guy and is not afraid to say anything about anything. So I wish there was some way that we could get to him. Over.
Kevin Stack.
Go ahead, Kevin. And then I want to ask people on who've been Greens longer than I, if Kevin Zeese and Margaret Flowers are potential allies or not. But Kevin, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say that it seems like right now everyone's talking about how MMT is being implemented. So, you know, this would be this is something I think to pay attention to in terms of the argument, you know, that we have with MMT. And as I understand it, I think, at least my opinion, and I think it's pretty much the consensus opinion, that MMT is basically a gobbledygook type explanation of the existing system and doesn't offer anything new at all, except just to say that if you had progressives in Congress, they could pass progressive legislation, which, of course, we knew that already.
I agree.
So this is a good time to point out, you know, that that feature of MMT. You know, here is MMT. You know, it's, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. And kind of point that out and say that, you know, when you base your money on debt and you can't pay the debts, the system falls apart.
That's excellent.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's something for the next newsletter.
Eugene Stack.
All right.
Go ahead.
Kevin, when you say that MMT is being implemented, have you seen that any place in print, or anybody has explicitly said that beyond the Green Party, beyond our committee?
Well, yes. Yes, because I pay attention to a lot of financial commentary, and who is it? I just watched the video. I'll see if I can. He was talking about the Federal Reserve and all that, but they're talking about MMT, and especially the new $1,200 a month bailout package. That's MMT right there. You know, it, of course, when they had the 2008 package, that was not MMT. But anyway, but. So they are talking about it like, you know, here we now have MMT. And these people, they're very sophisticated. And a lot of them will talk about how the money system works. And they make basic sense. You know, they basically kind of know about it. But then they just kind of don't follow through. You know, it's like... They just don't peel the next layer off the onion, so to speak. You know, they're just trying to wrestle with understanding the current system and how can they make a profit. They talk about it, and they talk about MMT's coming, and now, you know, it's going to be a big disaster for all of the financial types. Which it will, it may very well be a disaster for the United States, because MMT could cause the entire monetary system to to really collapse. I mean, we could have it could be really stupendous how the United States degenerates into a total chaos under, with the MNT concept of unlimited debt. Over.
Yeah, but they blame the Greens.
That's what I was telling my wife. You know, this whole thing is the fault of the environmentalists.
Yeah. Eugene Stack.
Given the humor that you bring to it, that irony that you point out could be very helpful for a lot of people.
Okay. Well, who is it that says that somebody says you cannot be ironic, that most people do not understand irony, they don't understand sarcasm?
You can make irony for fourth graders. You can do it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Eugene.
Kevin, if you find that video you're talking about, please share it with us.
Yeah, okay, I will. I'm sure I can find it, yeah.
Or if other people say in the future, you don't necessarily have to send the entire video. I mean, you could even excerpt it or bring it up at the next meeting and just, you know, quote from it to us all. Because I think it's important, if that's being said, we have to figure out what we want to say in response and where we might put that response. Over.
Okay, I'm going to send you the link on the I just pulled it right up because I'd already watched it, so I'm going to send a link on the BMRC thing, okay?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Sue, did you say you want to be on the stack? I think not.
Matt, I agree.
Matt, what do you want to say?
I'm thinking of something that was said earlier on the call about how hard it is to get people to listen to this and how we go ahead and explain it to them. And I'm sitting here thinking of Old Country Buffet. And if we could find somebody that has an Old Country Buffet, a Golden Corral, or some kind of big buffet restaurant like that, have somebody go in there, and you have to like split this up into like five topics, then some subtopics, and you walk in the place and say, okay, the first thing we're going to go is to the salad bar. And then it's got, that'd be one topic. And you have a guy standing in front of a salad bar, and you see all the choices of salad. Then he goes ahead and describes, okay, here's like five points of the first topic. Then he moves on to the main course, the sides, the beverages, the dessert bar, etc. And this would be actually done in a restaurant to get people, if you want people to listen to it and follow what you're saying, you'd use food as your example. And walk in the place and say, this is how the whole thing gets started. And you take it topic by topic by topic. And that way they're going to have something familiar they can follow along with what you're trying to say. Because if you go in there and try to describe this to somebody that doesn't know what we're talking about, you're going to see the deer in headlights look, and they're going to say something like, yeah, that's interesting, and they're going to walk away. You get something to hook them to where it's like, okay, now I want to listen to this. Where's this guy going? It's a little... I don't know what the proper word is, like a gimmick, to go ahead and get them to listen to what we're trying to say and do.
And they're going to get very hungry, too.
Well, that would help. Yeah, that would help. And then we could tell them to send us a donation of $11.95 or something. I don't know.
Or the conclusion is, eat the rich.
There you go. Well, it'd be like, no, then the dessert. Here's the dessert. You get the big banksters there, whoever, like the top five are or something, and say, you know, you get a guy with a fork, and you just stab the banker right in the heart. You say, who do you want? You want Jamie Dimon for dessert, or you want Goldfine for dessert, or whoever the hell, the guy from Goldman Sachs. It's like, and you just go one by one by one, and that's your dessert. Yeah. And that would be something to where it's cute, it'd get their attention, that want to keep, like, what is this? Where are these people going with this stuff? See, I always find when I'm telling a story, when I start out, I want to throw a couple tidbits in there, but I don't want to explain them right away. And I want to give people an incentive to keep listening to me. And that's what this would be. It's like, if you just explain it, and you can do it, the slide presentation is good. I heard enough of about it. I haven't seen it at all because I'm not on Zoom. But it's like, that's good. Like, okay, there's your starter right there. There's like, okay, what's this all about? But if you're going to get their attention, you've got to keep their attention, rather. You've got to do something to lead them along with something they already know and get them interested in it that way. And it's like you can go the whole thing about the all the things that there's too much for me. We all know what it is, so I don't need to go over it with everybody on the call. But how they increase the monetary supply, how they print up the dollars, then they go ahead and they say to the Treasury, you know, borrow it, and on and on and on. But it's like, as long as it's done in a way for beginners. And then what happens is once they get the bug, or once they get interested in it, all we have to do is get them interested in one or two things. They're going to be hitting Google with all these terms, and they're going to go study for themselves. That's what's really important. When they take the initiative and want to go study on their own, instead of having us try to yank them over and get them to listen to what we have to say, it's like, plant the seed, get the interest there. And I think right now, with this mess going on in the country, and once people realize it's about the budget, this bill that they're passing, for these trillions and trillions of dollars, I never thought I'd see something so wild in my entire life. It's essentially what we have is a battle of a free market. It just wants to deflate, liquidate, and go back to square one where it should be, flatten everything out, start at zero. And by God, the government's just not going to let that happen. And that's why you're going to get more people that are going to start asking questions about this. And we need to be there with the answers for them.
Thank you. We're a little over time for leaving. We want to leave our time for talking about the newsletter. What did Greenbacker, are you back? Do you want to say something? But I was going to ask the group if...
No.
Go ahead. If others...
I said no, I wasn't.
Okay. I wonder if others in the group agree with Matt on the idea that presentations we do and conversations that we have at this time could have as a main goal just to engage someone's curiosity, to get someone interested enough to go looking for themselves. Is that too lame and lazy of a goal, or is that a worthy goal in the view of people on this call?
Rita's time.
Go, Rita.
I think it's a very worthy goal myself. you know, this is something you learn when you learn how to teach people.
Yeah.
You have to present it in some kind of an interesting way that keeps their attention so they want to know more.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is exactly what Matt's saying here.
Yeah.
And, yes. And then, I mean, the whole purpose of teaching people is to for them to learn to teach themselves. So you need to put this interest in them.
Yeah, I appreciated what he said about throwing out tidbits like bait and not telling the whole story, throwing out some bait and leaving people a little bit in suspense.
I think that's what good teachers do.
I think it's probably harder than just telling everything. I'm not sure. Anyway, Sue, were you on the stack?
Sue Stack, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally agree with Rita, except with this topic, there's nothing out there in the mainstream that is going to validate what we're saying. And they don't have any experience growing up with this at all. They don't have any history. So I think we have to, repetition is very needed And also sending them to, you know, the sites that we go to, you know. I mean, I'm just thinking of all the questions we still have among ourselves, you know. So we have to be, keep it simple and send them to sites that will repeat, and, you know, the concepts.
Thank you.
Rita Stack.
Go ahead, Rita.
Our Peace Action Committee is using a quiz.
Quiz?
A quiz, okay. That we're going to implement that will give people questions with multiple choice answers, and then when the quiz is done, then they can go look at the answers, which will give them a narrative explanation to fill in the blanks as to, you know, why their question or why their answer was wrong and what the correct answer is and more information about the correct answer. So
the questions on the Peace Action quiz, will they be related to financing of war, or why war is bad, or how bad war is, or what kind of?
Well, I'd have to tell you what some of the questions are, like, you know, how many countries are we dropping bombs on?
Oh.
How bad? Do you know the answer?
Yes.
Do you know the answer?
Is it 7 or 8 at this time?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
How much have the
wars cost us since we entered Afghanistan in 2001 and so forth?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. If there's nothing else especially urgent about this topic, we have one more topic on our agenda, which is
newsletter.
Yeah, newsletter. Appreciating and commenting on the one that went out, the articles, and talking about next newsletter goals.
Kevin Stack.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I looked at the newsletter on the Greens for Monetary Reform website.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought...
You didn't get it in your email?
Yes, I did. Oh. It looked great in the email. And that's what I wanted. That's why I wanted to talk about it, because it didn't look so hot on the website.
Oh. Oh dear.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about this stuff that the internet, the deal with it's misconfigured in here on the website. Now, I mean, it's not that bad, but it just doesn't look very good. It doesn't look like it should. What happens is the HTML and the web stuff is so customized that you get it looking great in one application, and then you think you can post it on the website, and it just doesn't even look the same at all because of the cascade style sheets, CSS. So that just needs attention in terms of getting the CSS matched up. Yeah, so the Greens for Monetary Reform.
We're on the website, but...
Well, under the
I see it. Yeah, I see it. Sorry.
I see
what you mean.
Yeah. So that's just something that, you know, what it's, I don't know, because when you're putting the newsletter together, you're using a little program that builds the newsletter, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that, and then it has styles that you can pick for stuff, right? Like you could pick the color of the background or the whatever, right? Because it basically makes
it. It's got fairly limited tools.
Okay.
I could.
But,
yeah.
It should also, there should be some kind of a a link to a CSS file. Are you looking at this on your browser? Are you looking at the page on your web browser?
Yeah.
Okay, well, right-click on it and click on view source, view page source.
On the Greens for Monetary Reform site?
Yeah, on the newsletter page.
Uh-huh. View page source, okay.
Right, and up at the top, you see it says link rel style sheet, href, CSS, and then 1.css, okay? So everybody's like the fifth line down. Okay, well, that is the CSS. If your styles are not in that CSS page, then they're not going to render correctly. So what you do, if you have, what you do is, there's a web page called W3 Schools, and you could just look up CSS tutorial on Google, and it'll give you W3 Schools as one of your choices probably. And so you need to create a class for your the different parts of your newsletter. Each one gets a class that are different, and you put your attributes in the class. Anyway, it's a great way to spend your Saturday afternoon.
Sue Stack.
Hey. Go ahead, Sue.
I'm looking at the newsletter on Greens for Monetary Reform now, and you know, my memory about Alan Smith, we asked him to do this, right? I have no memory of it. But he would be the go-to person. He's very generous, very smart. And I'm just wondering, Howard, if you could just discuss it with him, and he'll go off and do whatever, you know. But I'm wondering if this newsletter, you couldn't modify the style so it doesn't have the dark and the white, just because I think it would be easier just have it up on the website without the dark and the white. But Alan would be able to tell you.
Yeah. Well, we need to get our latest newsletter up there anyway, so I can talk to him about that. And it doesn't have the black boxes, so it should be better.
But we want the pictures, right? The pictures are missing.
We do. We want the pictures. Yeah, I'll have to send him the pictures.
Yeah.
I guess.
So what? I'll talk to Alan, and I'll give him your phone number or your email.
Okay.
And then you could get together, you know, online with him.
Yeah. Okay.
He's very smart and very generous person.
Right. I know Alan.
Oh, right, because you were involved with making this website.
Yeah. Yeah. Spent some time with him in Chicago at the one of the conferences.
Oh, yeah, he came a couple times.
Evenings, yeah.
Okay. Well, do you want to contact him directly, or do you want me to talk to him and have him contact you?
No, I can contact him.
Okay, great.
Go ahead, Eugene.
As we're talking about the different kinds of creativity that's found in our committee, I think that we have to think about it for the future. A YouTube channel and a Facebook page for our committee. And I could see us doing that slideshow on there. I could see our newsletters on there, and something, you know, contact us. You know, they're on the newsletters already. But I mean, I like that slideshow, and I think we have to think about where it would go. I mean, it could be on the GPUS website also, but I think we ought to have a YouTube channel. And I was also thinking about Twitter. You know, public money, not debt money, or something. And we said that we had somebody, I think we said we had somebody that knew Twitter. Oh, it was Dunn. Dunn knows Twitter, and he uses Twitter.
And here's Bill Decker.
Decker, excuse me. And
he's on here, by the way, Eugene.
Right, I saw his name. But I think we have to begin to use these alternative things as we are producing this material. We have to find new places to place it, and what we're doing is planting seeds. We're Johnny Appleseed, and we just have to figure out these things and utilize them. Over.
Thank you. Well, for heaven's sake, it got to be 10:03. Howard?
11:03.
I agree. Get our YouTube channel together and put these things up.
Good ideas.
Eugene Stuck?
Yeah.
You know, as we have talked about the list of people we might contact, if individuals on this committee make a contact with somebody, it probably requires a cover letter or an email to them. And if the email is thought out, share it with the rest of the group. Look, I'm contacting X or Y, and this is the way I introduce myself, and that would provide a model for the rest of us if we want to reach out to somebody. Over.
I'll say that I've contacted a lot of people, not powerful people, but people who are starting to enter into dialogue with me. And no one, I have a file of letters, I bet you I've got 25. And I don't ever go to that file to use them, because when I contact someone, it's based on something they have said, something they have shown interest in, it's particular to that individual. So the concept of having some kind of a form or model that will work overall, I would be interested in seeing it, but I don't right away believe in it. Yeah. Anyway, but we're having fun practicing all the time.
Great-o. Yeah. Indeed.
I know Joe's out there practicing all the time, and Howard, I think you all are.
Indeed.
Eugene Stack?
Go ahead.
We have to make sure that every one of our meetings is recorded, and the webinar was not recorded, and Sue may have it. She may have recorded it, but that has to be one of the first steps when we start a meeting, is it being recorded. Over.
Yeah. It's one of the first things that I should be reminded of. Well, I can set it up to automatically record, I just found out.
Uh-huh. I'll do that. It's your job to remind Howard.
Records automatically.
Okay, at the beginning, we'll say, let's set an agenda, let's press the record button.
Good.
That's good.
What do we need to add tonight? Thanks for the hot tip about the Dixie Chicks.
So how's everybody getting along during this pandemic and whatever?
Oh, isn't that cool? We didn't have to go on about it tonight. Yeah. I'm okay. I hope y'all are okay.
I want to ask Kevin, what's going on with your lieutenant governor?
Oh, yeah. I must have missed out on any news of the lieutenant governor. I heard of him, he was worried about which bathroom he needed to use.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, they had a big deal about unisex bathrooms. This was a big controversy a couple of years ago. Lieutenant Governor. Or it was people, transgender people wanting to use their biological bathroom or their adopted bathroom. It was a big, controversy.
Kevin, his latest is that, you know, the grandparents are willing to die during this pandemic so the rest of the world can go on about their business.
Get back in the stock market.
Really? Well, you know,
Until you're not on Facebook.
I was thinking...
Where are you on?
The lieutenant governor election is in 2 years. And I was thinking about actually running for lieutenant governor of the Green Party here, because we need statewide, you know, I figure I could get 2 or 3% of the vote or 4% of the vote. So, and we need, and I don't know anybody else who would want to do it. So I thought about running, and I think it would be, I mean, I would have to travel around and, you know, make appearances and all that and try to campaign, but.
Yeah, the Green Party would be great for doing that.
Yeah,
that would be.
He's a case. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Texas, you know, Texas is in quite a position here because the oil business is crashing. To me, I think the state's going to be broke in a couple of years if they're not broke already. Anyway, the lieutenant governor. I think that's all you have to say if you want some humor. The lieutenant governor of Texas, and everybody would laugh.
Very cool.
Yeah, thanks for asking, Rita.
Good meeting.
Yeah, great. Great to be with you all.
Back at you.
Same here. Glad everybody.
Night. Thursday.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Keeping it real.
Thank
Keeping
you very
real
much
here.
For being
you
there.
You guys are doing great work. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for next week. Of the restaurant.